Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking with an author, a woman that's got quite an interesting background, but more than that, she decided she would sit down and write a book that would give some practical tips for those younger members of your family that you may think, gee, I wish I could just hand them a book because I know they're not hearing me at this time, and all they'd have to do is say, I could say, turn to page 14, and they'd have it. And I really think this is quite a good publication. Michelle Svarkanos is my guest. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Michelle, you have a background that is in nursing. You have also become involved in real estate, which I think is always a good combination with any profession, because that is something that brings maybe some additional financial blessings that otherwise you wouldn't have. But you have been doing quite a bit of writing over the years. Was it practical experience that made you sit down and say, I've got to put this in writing? Because God knows I had to say it so many thousands of times, this would have been so much easier having a book to hand somebody. Is that the reason you did it?
I wish I would have had a book when I was younger. Absolutely. When I originally thought about this book, my daughter was getting ready to move out of the home, and she's a single mother, and her young son have been staying here. And I really wanted to make sure that she could not only care for herself, but for her son.
Mm-hmm.
So I started making notes, and several people that I spoke to, I told them about the project, and they said, you know, wow, we could all use something like that for our kids. And so I looked into publishing it, and I was very happy with, you know, what I was able to do in getting it out and getting the word out. And so I went ahead and I published it, and it's been well received.
I can imagine that it would be. Just about every college campus should have at least 5,000 of them to hand out to all their students. It's so important for young people to understand that when they are out on the road, they are going to have to do their own laundry. It's amazing to me in today's world. I can't tell you how frequently I am. I'm just often aghast at hearing stories from parents of, oh my goodness, my children bring all their dirty clothes over, or they're constantly raiding the pantry at home if they're close enough to do that. Or
right.
They are just, it's almost like they're incompetent. And I go, what in the world have we done to these young people, for heaven's sakes?
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, being a registered nurse myself, my fear is more of their health and safety being out
mm-hmm.
on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree.
Making sure that they change their air conditioning filters. Here in Florida, the humidity is awful. The dust is awful. The dust and dust mites, they run rampant. And, you know, if you don't change your air conditioning filters at least once a month, those allergic reactions will just make you sick.
Amazing. Who would have thought of that? I can remember Florida, and I know what you're talking about with the humidity. And certain times of the year, mm-hmm. it's just awful. And it can get so warm. It all depends on where you are in the state, how intense it can get. But it's a tropical environment. It really is. And so you have a whole set of circumstances to deal with. And, you know, it's something. Why do you think it's such a challenge? It used to be you were taught these things at home. This was something that the girls were taught, sometimes the boys not as well as the girls. But usually the guys were taught in the military a lot of the basic things that you include in this book. Now, that is not so prevalent unless
right.
someone is involved in the military. But how is it we've gotten to such a dilemma where there is this amazing lack of cognizance about what it takes just for everyday living?
When I was younger, we used to have a home economics course that we had to mm-hmm. take in junior high school. and it was a mandatory course. And I've done a lot of research and found that most of your mandatory courses are now possibly an elective or not offered at all. I know a lot of the high schools offer a life skills course, but it's an elective. And recently I was told in one state that it's an elective and only for those not choosing to attend college.
You have got to be kidding.
And I was just, you know, really shocked over that. And, you know, a lot of things have happened to where now we have, you know, the two parents in the home have to work outside of the home. We have a lot of children that come home after school, and, you know, we call them the latchkey kids. They're behind locked doors. Mm-hmm. You know, so really, who is there to be a role model to them, and who's there to teach them this kind of information? If mm-hmm. our parents are working, when they do come home, you know, they do a quick pickup of the house. They, you know, rush around, get dinner ready, get the kids, you know, ready for bed and those kind of things. And so, you know, where are they learning this information?
Right. And with so many different chemical products on the shelves, I'll share a story with you. There was a woman that I knew, and this was an extremely intelligent woman. She was an adult. We're not talking about someone that was in their 20s. She was in her 40s, middle 40s. She owned an apartment complex. She lived in the far north where she was, during the winter, there was a vacancy and she had to go in and clean the place up so that it had to be painted and all of this. Well, whenever mm-hmm. you're in real cold environments, the likelihood of your being able to have open windows while you're painting or something like that is pretty remote. You're going to have right. to be very thoughtful because your paint won't dry. You're just going to have a mess. Well, she decided, because these people had been very unsanitary in the bathroom, she said, boy, it really needed to be clean, and she mixed Clorox with Ajax.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that is highly toxic.
Absolutely.
And it gets off a fume, and it burned her lungs. And to this day, she suffers with a chronic cough because her lungs were burned. She had to go to the emergency. That's what she had done. And she had done it in an area. She didn't even have a fan on in the place.
Oh.
So you have things, and you think of adults doing this. People do not realize that a lot of chemicals that are there for cleaning, when you combine them or you do certain things with them, they're highly toxic, and you have to think about these things. Otherwise,
absolutely.
You can end up like this gal did in the emergency room.
Or even worse, they can be fatal, and you can actually
yes.
die from the fumes, especially if no one is there to find you. I mean, certainly you could just pass out, but if no one's there to find you, it could definitely be fatal.
Absolutely. Now, with this book that you have put together, Useful Information for Everyday Living, my goodness, you have such a market. You have colleges, you've got high schools, junior highs. I mean, you could do courses in schools just to educate kids before they graduate. You know, they get with a diploma, they get this book. I mean, this is really something that is extremely valuable. And you have in here, right at in the first chapter, you talk about cleaning supplies.
Yeah.
Basic list, how to take care of a bedroom. And when I first picked this up, I said, you have got to be kidding. Don't most people know these things? You know, change your sheets once a week, no longer than 2 weeks. You wash the pillows, the mattress covers, your comforters, wipe ceiling fans. I mean, I'm looking at all of this stuff, and I think, don't people know this? And then I had to sit back and think, I know this, but there's a heck of a lot of people that don't.
Absolutely. And again, who is their role model?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they learning it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely true. Now, one of the things, and you go through each room of the house, and you talk about electronics, you go into filters, you go into stairs, you go into all kinds of things. And you even have a chapter on cleaning clothes and
yes.
stubborn things. And boy, I can remember when I first left home. Of course, I was doing my own laundry and other things before I even left home, so that wasn't a big deal to me. But there are things when you're actually out on your own. If you've lived at home and you've come from a halfway decent environment, you've had a lot of things supplied. You just didn't even give it a thought. You just automatically figured it was just there. You just used it.
Right, that you just threw them all in the same load?
That's right.
On the same temperature?
Mm-hmm. And so you just, you know, think about those things. And then all of a sudden, you're out on your own, and you might have something muck up your oven. You may have a bottle of ketchup explode all over your clothes. You've got to get things out, you know, get the stains out. All of these things, when you're a young person, And then you watch the stuff on television and they talk about, oh, this is a wonderful thing to use. And you go, oh, yeah, I'll use that. And you go and you use it. And you go, it didn't work the way they said on TV.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. But you've got a real good selection of points of information, like for ironing. Most people anymore, they say, oh, who does ironing? I do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things don't look good unless you iron. I'm sorry. You're going to have to do that.
No matter how many times you put it back in the dryer.
That's right.
That drives me crazy. Oh, let me just throw this in the dryer and it'll, you know, take the wrinkles out so I can wear it. Not thinking about the cost of the dryer to run that, you know, the 15 or 20 minutes that you think might take all the wrinkles out.
Right. And you go through step by step in here with young people on how to set up the ironing board. And these are things that are so practical. But a lot of people, believe it or not, there are a lot of adults, and of course they look like this too, but a lot of adults that say, I don't even own an iron. I just, you know, if it can't be washed and worn, then I can't be bothered with it. And I look at them and I think, if you go to an interview looking like you're looking for a job, you're not going to even be considered.
Absolutely not.
So these are things that in putting them in, and then you've got a good chapter on preventing pests and bugs. And in Florida, holy Joseph, do you have them? And they're supersized because they're
and they're supersized, absolutely.
Oh. I mean, you have cockroaches that have, skateboards on each foot?
Backpacks.
Yes, and I've met them. I've met them years ago, and I just said, thank you very much, but I don't choose to have your company. In California, they're little. But in the tropical environments, these are super bugs, and your spiders are super size, and your mosquitoes.
Yes, they are.
I think Alaska beats your Florida mosquitoes, but they might have a nice wrestling match every once in a while. But I really think that this is an issue that has to be looked at, because we've just had all of this commotion about bed bugs. I was in New York last month, boy, was there all kinds of information about bed bugs. And so let's talk about this, because bugs and pests are something we're all going to have to live with. I'm sorry. There's no magic wand that eradicates them from your environment.
No, there's
so
not.
When you wrote this book, when you went through this chapter, what were the most important things that you felt that young people need to know about, and a lot of adults should be aware of this too?
I believe you need to really limit the areas in which you eat. You know, that's the reason we have a dining area, or, you know, if you're going to get something quick, eat it in the kitchen area. Because when you bring your food items into your living rooms and on your couches, on your rugs, you know, crumbs fall. And you may not even see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that you limit the areas where you eat to prevent all those crumbs and attracting all those pests.
Right.
One of the big pet peeves that I have is making sure that the dishes in the sink, if you don't have the time, if you don't have a dishwasher, okay, and you're going to wash them yourself, if you don't have time to wash them at that moment, at least rinse them thoroughly before setting them in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just don't let your dishes sit around in your sink or on your counters with food on them, because, again, it's going to attract those bugs and pests.
Yes, and I have to share a couple of stories with you relative to this. One of them was in Hawaii, and I'll never forget this. This was in the 80s, and we were visiting with some friends. And we happened to be in this beautiful condominium. I mean, it was new, only about a year, year and a half old. It was just beautiful view, absolutely gorgeous. And one of our group made a comment to the lady of the house saying, oh, you're just so lucky. This is so beautiful. The woman says, you think I'm lucky? I got news for you. We have bugs that crawl inside the walls. She had just had a baby. Her baby was only a couple months old. And in the island, cockroaches and bugs, supersized bugs, they're like the bugs in Florida.
Right.
And she said she could not leave one item out on her kitchen sink because they would find a way to come out. She said they had had exterminators. It didn't do any good. And she said she could hear them at night running through the walls.
Oh, my goodness.
And so in the environments you live in, if you're in like a tropical environment like Hawaii, that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I remember Oklahoma and Texas. And they came in, and I swear they had 45s on their hips. And those bugs would come in, and you had crickets there.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be very careful because those crickets would come in mass. And I think so many people today are not aware of how the insect population, they don't have 7-Elevens on their insect corners in life. They
right.
go wherever they can find food.
Right.
And anybody I knew in Oklahoma and Texas had to be very, very careful and make sure that they had everything either in a Tupperware container or glass so that as soon as they finished eating, they cleaned things up, put it away. Otherwise, they would have these happily scrunching, munching critters coming in and go, wow, you left this out for me. Woohoo! And
right.
there they were. And it's
right.
not fun. It really isn't. So wherever you live, you have to be aware that there are those patterns. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we can have ants, and California was notorious for ants, too, and roaches and different things. So you really have to be aware of your environment and be attentive to keeping things. Mosquitoes, you talk about standing water.
Absolutely.
Being outside, boy, you've got to pay attention to that. We really
yeah.
have a challenge with that here.
And especially in children's toys, you know, making
oh, no,
sure that
I
if you leave
thought,
a toy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I wouldn't have thought of a children's toy. That's a very good
yeah.
point.
Yeah, you leave them outside and it might rain, and then, you know, water gathers in there, and next thing you know, you've got a mosquito nest,
mm-hmm.
You know, that just went in there, and then they just run rampant everywhere. You know, you really got to limit the standing water, especially in Florida.
I agree. Now, again, you have each chapter is delegated to a specific subject area, and it's basic common sense in my view. But many young people don't have this. They just don't. They have not even had a concern. Again, depending on
right.
the environment they came from.
Yes.
But staying well, this is something that keeping things clean, making sure you get your rest,
mm-hmm.
being aware of what you're eating, this type of thing, this is all a big learning curve for a younger person. And I know a lot of older people that have never gotten it. But
right.
you have sickness information in here. And you talk about insurance, because you're a medical professional. You know how important that is.
Yes.
You talk about dealing with certain things. If you've got a cold, you don't need to go to the emergency room. You know, headaches, how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
As a nurse, there's a lot of information you put in here that, again, is something that is what I call into the classification of good, average, primary care.
Yes, I did. And, you know, I wanted to focus on those things that happen in everyday life, not something that would happen out of the ordinary. You know, a lot of times my daughter will call me, she's like, oh, Mom, I'm getting another migraine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing I say is drink a tall glass of water, because most headaches are due to dehydration. If, you know, if your pain doesn't go away within 20 minutes, then go ahead and take a pain reliever. But a lot of times, you know, everybody just gets going so much, and they're so busy, and everybody's into technology, that we forget to hydrate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it
Good
seems
point.
Like common sense, but, you know, it's just something that we overlook. But I believe that if, you know, you put it in writing and people read it, then it's back there, you know, ready to come forward at any time.
I agree with that. Now, you have chapters dealing with finances. You have chapters with dealing with food spoilage. And you have a chapter dealing with child care, like for the single parent, what they need to be aware of with children. And I think that's very good.
Thank you. I included a chapter on first-year baby basics. When I originally wrote this book, my concern was that those aged, say, 18 to 29 were my biggest target audience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when most adults are having their children. So that's why I thought, you know, it's really important to include that first-year baby basics. Everybody panics when they have a child. They all think they're going to break, and they don't come with instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So, you know, that's why I wanted to make sure that I included that information, as well as keeping children healthy and eating right, and, you know, those little childhood illnesses that they get, so that, you know, there's some kind of a base reference. And it is definitely not meant to be taken away from a visit to the physician or the pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
It's there as a standard guide to use, just mm-hmm. to give yourself some ease.
You have a very good section on being computer smart in here. And in our world today, I don't know of any, or at least very many young people that do not have a computer. And
right.
most of them are really, really savvy. But when you're out on your own and mm-hmm. you're going to be buying something, you have some very good tips, one of which I was really intrigued with. You said, don't buy a used computer.
Right.
Buy a new one.
Right.
Many people would say, well, Michelle, a used one you can get for so much less. You can get the software and you can put that in and it might save you $500. Why do you feel that it has to be a brand new computer?
Well, because there are many there are a lot of rebuilt computer systems out there that would be classified as used. That would probably suit your needs. However, you do have those with hidden problems. They may have a virus that may take, if you load a software application onto that computer, it may trigger that virus
mm-hmm.
and wipe out your whole hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
There's just those little lying hidden dangers, and I kind of feel that if you're going to spend the money to have a computer or a laptop, a desktop or a laptop, either one, that you really should do your homework, do a spreadsheet, do all the comparisons of the features and the specifications that you want, and make sure that you're getting, the big bang for your buck kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, you know what you're getting.
I really think that is sound advice. And computers are coming down in price. And for mm-hmm. a younger person, especially if they're going to be going on to college, if they want something that's portable, that's usable, this is exceedingly important for them, very,
yes.
very important for them. Now, you have a chapter in here, and I just had to chuckle when I came across it. I thought, holy Moses, how many times, I don't know very many people that pick up a needle and thread, and you say simple sewing. And these are basic things, sewing on a button.
It is.
Sewing, if maybe the seam in your pants comes undone, instead of just throwing away the entire pair of pants, you sew up the seam. This was, as you said before, in schools there were classes that taught girls more than boys, mm-hmm. but there were those classes to teach you how to sew. This was mandatory because it was part of the practical things in life
right.
that you were going to have to do at some point,
right.
and fixing buttonholes or things like this. Now, most people will go to dry cleaners and have someone do it for them,
mm-hmm.
but I had to laugh at this. I thought, where do you go how does someone learn how to do this, unless they've got a grandmother or a mom that's a sewer? Where are they going to learn it?
You know what the really beautiful thing is? YouTube. On YouTube,
oh.
there are actual people that, do their little streaming video and actually show you how to do this step by step on YouTube.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
That is terrific.
Yep.
That is terrific. Okay. So for those of you that have youngsters, and maybe you're not a sewer, and you want them to know certain things, use the YouTube section. That's
Absolutely.
That's really going to be great. But this is, it's really amazing to me, and I always get such a chuckle out of going to what we have here in the state of Washington. It's the Puyallup Fair, and it's a number 4, I think, in the nation in size.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sections there that just deal with sewing, and there's the 4-H clubs and the Girl Scout groups and all
right.
of these different groups. And I go, this is really terrific. You mean people are really still doing this now? Crocheting and knitting and
yeah.
fine stitchery and this type of thing. And there are people that do it. And believe it or not, I have a very dear friend who's a superb seamstress, and she makes costumes. And I just love it because we can talk about adjusting something or doing something, and she just, it's like second nature to her. She's been doing it for so many years. And
mm-hmm.
she's more fun, but she teaches classes on this. And so here, again, these are practical things.
Yes.
About life, about taking care of yourself. And one of the peak ones is etiquette. This is something
yes.
that is so lacking in so many young people, even adults. There are many that have gotten no training or education on this, and there is such a thing as etiquette.
Yes, there's a very large need for it.
Oh, big time. And you have this chapter on etiquette. So for those of you listening, I really think that these items are so valuable. And if you have a young person in your home and you're trying to get certain things across, having a book like this is great. Why not tell your school about it or even your college about it? I can't tell you how many people I have interviewed that when they get that are teachers, professors in college, they get young people. They haven't a clue about etiquette. This is a useful information for everyday living. Michelle Tsvakanos has written this wonderful book. And Michelle, what's your website where people can go to find out more information about this?
It is my name, Michelle Tsvakanos, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, S as in Sam, F as in Frank, AKIANOS.com. You can also find the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. And the book is entitled Useful Information for Everyday Living.
I like your cover. It shows
Thank
a woman
you.
Multitasking. Of course, she has got 10 arms, and she's doing all kinds of things. And balancing on a ball as well. That's not bad. I mean, really skilled. But I'll tell you what, this is a publication that should be a mandatory read. And I just know that there is such a need for this. And it's presented in such clear language. It's marvelous. Michelle, I wish you the best.
Thank you so much, Donna.
You are very welcome. Michelle Tsvakanos, her last name is spelled Tsvakanos.com. Check it out. And I think you'll find it's a wonderful gift to give to a graduating student and or to anyone else that you may think could use a little upgrade in understanding how to make their everyday life far better. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you would like to call in and chat with me directly, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you that might be a new listener, what this is referring to is that you're more than welcome to call in, and I'm happy to give you an intuitive reading over the air. And all I need from you is your first name or initial. Of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from. What part of the country, and then after that, hey, just sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive Now, I do want to mention something. That is, I am going to be discontinuing my 800 number with the advancement of so many technologies as of the 15th of June. Then that is no longer going to be available. So I just wanted to let you know about that. And also, I've got events coming up. My newsletter was supposed to have gone out, but I have been having some challenges with our server, so I have to work with that in a special way, and you'll find it up on the website probably by tomorrow. But anyway, that's going out as soon as I can get everything taken care of, as well as the information about the upcoming guests that are going to be here. So that's just the way it goes with challenges in technology, so we just take it one day at a time and one step at a time. I wanted to share a story with you about a veterinarian. His name is Dr. Carew, and I have a picture of him in front of me, and he has the most adorable dog. She looks like she weighed, oh, maybe about 25 to 30 pounds. She was white. She has a little bit of a Dalmatian type of a muscle, you know, speckled type of patterning on her face, but she has these beautiful big dark eyes, and her ears and the rest of her head have brown and black markings. She's just the sweetest dog, but by golly, this dog swallowed a serrated knife. Have you ever seen one of those knives? It's got real, you know, the serrated edges. I'm sure you've seen them in advertisements on television. And then at the end, there's a pronged point because you're meant to stab the meat with it, maybe lift it up off of a grill and then, you know, cut whatever you're cutting. I looked at this. I could not believe. This was a dog. At the time, it swallowed this knife. It was 6 months old. It was 13 inches in length. You would think the animal would have died from this. Now, how this occurred. The dog's owner, Jane, had been using the knife to carve a turkey. She was having a get-together at her home, and interestingly enough, she lives in Florida. She had put the blade on the counter away from the edge, but she had at the time six dogs, and she thinks that one of the dogs snatched it. And then Elsie, her six-month-old puppy, who was a St. Bernard puppy, so you know, even at 6 months, this was a pretty good-sized little doggie, swallowed it. Now, how in the world could a dog have swallowed something like that? Don't ask me. You never can figure these things out. Somehow or another, she had gotten the blade, she had swallowed the entire knife, and it had been inside of her for 4 days. Now, can you get a picture of that? That's just almost beyond me. Dr. Carew was able to remove it. It took him 2 hours of surgery to remove it from that puppy. He said he couldn't believe that the St. Bernard puppy was able to take down a knife that big and not do major damage to himself physically. I'm telling you, some of these things that you read about, and it's for real. That St. Bernard puppy, though, did just fine. Had the constitution of, I don't know what we could compare it to, but it's amazing. And that dog is just healthy and happy. But I can tell you from the photos that are in front of me, I just don't know even how the dog got it down its throat without slicing itself. Don't ask me. Strange things happen, and that's one of them. And this comes from Ripley's Believe It or Not book that I have, and all of this photograph. I love Ripley's. I just absolutely do. When I was a kid growing up, I can remember that one of the newspapers that we would get, there was always a section on Ripley's. And I was so intrigued with this man who traveled all over the world, seeing all of these unique things, finding these weird and bizarre people, conditions, situations. And, of course, Ripley died a long time ago, but the legacy goes on. And I had a chance when I was in New York to go to the Ripley Museum there. And I have to tell you, when I first entered the museum, I thought, yeah, okay. This is all right. You just keep walking. And I'll tell you, by the time you finish it, it'll take you almost 3 hours to go through it. It is huge. There's one room after the other of phenomenal materials, subject matter, items that you would never have imagined could even exist. It's just fascinating. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. But I think just about any medical person anywhere on this planet has experienced much of the bizarre, the unique, and the unusual. I wanted to share something with you today. I came across a wonderful, wonderful recipe. Let me pull it out here that I thought you might enjoy. Let me get it. I have it here. And it has to do with making a dough that is perfect for pizza. Now, so many of us will go out and we'll buy the commercial pizzas, and I raise my hand. My husband has a particular brand that he absolutely loves, and it's great just to go into the freezer and pull it out and zip off the plastic cover and go into the hot oven, and boy, you've got something that's pretty good. I personally have the attitude that pizza is a very healthy food. It's just a sandwich, a flat sandwich, whatever you put on it. And, of course, being of Italian background, I want the pizza sauce. I really want the spicy sauce. I love that. So this is something that all of us do. Pizza, to my amazement, is a food of foods. And you can put anything on a pizza, depending on your taste buds. But if you can make your own dough, a dough that is really healthy and simple and easy, it's going to be something that you'll be able to do more than once. And you might want to make up a batch of dough and perhaps make your flat pizza dough and put it in a packaging of some kind of your own making, and put it in the freezer so that when you're in a rush and you're in a hurry, all you'd have to do is get out the sauce and the toppings that you want to put on there, and you have your own homemade dough that's really handy. Well, the ladies that put this particular recipe together are Janet and Greta Podeleski, and they really have something here that I think is a pretty good recipe. Now, this is all that you need to have, and you can use quick-rising whole wheat and ground flax. That's right. It's really good stuff. And kids like it. So this is how simple it is. You're going to need a cup of all-purpose flour, You're going to need a half a cup of whole wheat flour, two tablespoons of flax meal or ground flaxseed. Now, if you wanted to use the whole flaxseed, that would give a different crunch to the dough. But the ground flaxseed, when you grind your flaxseed, you must make sure that you don't have it stored for a real long period of time because it'll lose its essential oils, and it could go rancid on you. So if you grind flaxseed, we use it in the household quite a bit. We mix it in with various things in our smoothies or what have you because it's very, very healthy. It's very, very good for you. But if you grind it, if you have a coffee grinder and you can grind your own, you can grind a little bit at a time, and then you don't have to worry about it spoiling. And I keep my flaxseed in the freezer, just a tip. That's a Donna tip. You're going to need an envelope of some quick-rising yeast, and that is going to be envelope. It's about a quarter of an ounce or 2 1/4 teaspoons. If you buy the bulk yeast, which is something I do, then just know you're going to need 2 1/2 teaspoons of your quick-rising yeast. You're going to need a half a teaspoon of salt, 2/3 cup of very warm water. Then you're going to need 2 tablespoons each of olive oil and honey, liquid honey. 2 tablespoons each of that. You're going to need some olive oil cooking spray, or just shake a few drops out and spread it around when it's needed. On a tablespoon of cornmeal, Now, all you need to do, this is how simple it is, you just put in a medium bowl, you put your flours, your flax meal, your yeast, and your salt. Just mix it up. Take your fingers and you got it done. Then you're going to measure your warm water, stir in your olive oil and your honey into the warm water. Pour that mixture over the dry ingredients and mix it. And you can use your hands, you can use a wooden spoon. I like to use a big spatula. I really like to use a spatula. You take and turn your dough out then, once you've got it well mixed, onto a lightly floured surface and knead it. You just really knead it. It's a great way to work out frustration. Just knead that dough. Just knead it for 2 minutes. Then you want to put it into another bowl that has been rubbed with a little bit of olive oil, or spray it with your olive oil spray. and then cover it with plastic wrap. You can let it rise until it's double in size, about 20 minutes. Now, let me give you a tip. If you're in any area, like here in the Pacific Northwest where we are, it has a coolness and a dampness in the air that I have found, because I love to bake, I found when I bake, things won't rise. Ah, so what I did, because I have an electric oven in my house, I turn on my oven light, and I put my dough in the covered bowl in the oven with the oven light, and you just allow it to rise. The light in the oven creates just the right temperature for the rising of the bread. It gives just the right environment to it. It's absolutely marvelous. Then once it's doubled in size, and it may take more than 20 minutes for this to happen, depending on where you're living and how warm it is. When it's warm here in the Pacific Northwest, which we're not sure that that's ever going to happen again in this area, but besides that, that's a Donna's comment. This, just realize it may take you a little bit longer. So get busy with something else. Maybe you're preparing your sauces or whatever you want to do. Once your dough has doubled, though, you want to turn it on a lightly floured surface, and using a rolling pin, you want to roll it out into a 12-inch circle, and then you put it onto a prepared pizza pan, and you can, on that pizza pan, you can spray it with oil if you like, and sprinkle your cornmeal. Now, we have a pizza pan that has holes in it, so just be aware that if you're going to put some cornmeal on that, you're going to spray it. You do it over the sink so that your cornmeal won't go all over the floor. It'll go over the sink. And know that that cornmeal and oil are going to give a nice, crispy crust to that pizza dough when you're baking it. Your oven should be at 425 degrees when you bake this pizza. When you've put all of your toppings on there, make your own sauce, whatever it is that you like to put on top. You bake it for about 15 minutes, or you can do something else. You can take the crust itself and take and put puncture marks all around the crust with the tines of a fork. And you may even want to take some dried beans if you have them and just put them on the crust so that it won't bubble up all over the place. And then put it in that 425-degree oven for about 6 minutes. No topping on it. Remove it. You can put your toppings on top of that already pre-cooked crust. And then put it back in the oven. That's right, crust and all, for about 8 to 10 minutes. And at 425, you'll find that the sauce is going to be bubbly, your cheese, whatever you got, it's going to be absolutely scrumptious. So I think these two gals have a wonderful recipe here. And by the way, flaxseed has omega-3 fatty acids. Your body can't manufacture these. And this is something that's so healthy for you. And you can only get your omega-3s from food. And this is one of the best ways to do it, and that's with flaxseed. It's wonderful. It is just one of the smartest things that you can do about adding it into your food. And you can use it in so many ways. I had a girlfriend whose dad used to chew on it. Instead of using pumpkin seeds, he'd have flax seeds. And he would pop them in his mouth, but he'd chew them. And he told his daughter, he was a farmer, he said, this is one of the healthiest things you can ever eat. And lo and behold, many years later, she's finding that her dad really knew what he was talking about. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And hey, if you want to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. We're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about lithomancy. If you've not heard of the term before, I'm not surprised. It's a relatively new one in our environment of life. It's the art of reading stones. We're going to be talking with Gary Weimer tomorrow. And he's been studying this for quite a long time, and he learned it from a woman, and it's taken him a number of years to really get it down to a point where he felt he could really put the information into a book and share it with others. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Patrick Robertson, The Delta Solution. It's going to be about the Navy SEALs. A fascinating book. Absolutely awesome. It is fiction, but it is gripping. So we've got that. Next week, we're going to have a guest that is in the pharmaceutical industry. And she's going to be talking about a subject matter that you don't hear about too often, and that is drug addiction among medical professionals. And then on Tuesday the 7th, we're going to be having a Best of Donna. There are some other things that have come up that have to be taken care of, so we'll be having a repeat program. And then we're going to be talking with Steve Elder. His book is How Much More Longer. Now, the title is a little bit intriguing, but it's also going to be leading into how we can make changes in our life. And then, on Thursday of next week, Uncle Al Capone. That's right, we're going to have a niece of Al Capone as a guest on the show. Deidre Capone is her name, and she's going to be sharing some fascinating facts about this infamous uncle. And then we'll be talking about vitamin D on Friday, powerful medicine. Lucinda Messer is a woman that has done extensive research on this vitamin that has surged up. Used to know it as cod liver oil special. Kids hated it. Well, I'll tell you what, it kept them from getting rickets and kept them healthy. Now it's come back with a whole new level of understanding, and people are hearing about it and have been hearing about it for a long time. So we've got a wonderful lineup of guests that are coming, and I hope you'll tell your friends about the show and let them know about these very special guests. There is a man by the name of Troy Yoakum. He lives in Louisville, Kentucky. And this is a man who uses a drum to get across a message about supporting our veterans. Now, Troy served in Iraq in 2009, and he said so many emails were sent to him by various people that were in the military, and he said they were really having problems. He said there was a very good friend of mine who was an Iraqi war veteran. He said he was hurting financially. He said, I wanted to help, but I didn't have the money to give him. And I really was feeling as if I was powerless to make a difference. Well, after this experience and a number of others, when he got home to Louisville, he thought, how can I make a difference? How can I raise money for families? For those families of veterans who are financially in difficulties. And what he came up with was Hike for Our Heroes. Have you ever heard of it? I hadn't. It's a 7,000-mile walk. Now, people like to call it the drum hike because, and I've got a photo of it in front of me, that's what he does. He plays the drum the entire route. Now, he started this in Louisville in April 2010, and he's going to be ending there, and he ended there last year, and September, and he collects donations throughout his through his website, and he delivers checks to the doorsteps of those families that are in need that have been in the military. And he said at the time that he ended his walk, he had gone to 38 large cities in 30 states and had been able to reach three coasts, San Diego, New Orleans, and Boston. And he had a number of people that supported him, sponsored him, a number of different businesses. And he was logging an average of 20 miles a day. Hotels donated rooms for him to stay in. There were homes that people opened up to him. And he carried a tent with him wherever he went. And by the time he ended his walk, there was a substantial amount of money, several hundred thousand dollars, that went for those in need. And his statement was, every step is worth it because when I arrive to help another family, it is the best feeling. Now, if you'd like to find out more about this, go to drumhike.com. drumhike.com. People are amazing in their resourcefulness. And you know, I think that's one of the things that's so special about the American opportunity. If you can come up with a good concept and an idea, and you're willing to do the work and put out the effort behind it, you're probably going to find a lot of people willing to support you. There's more than one story that has been shared with me through the years where people have made a difference because of their willingness to put themselves out in front, to do what needs to be done in a moment, and say, here I am. What do you think? It's absolutely amazing. And do you know what I think is even more amazing? So many people that have been out of work. I think of a woman that I've known for many years. She was in the banking industry, and she was in a management position. And there was a change in the upper echelon, in the management area of the bank that she worked in. The new people that she had above her did not have the same sense of integrity and ethics that she had. There came a challenge where one of the employees that was under her did not agree with something that was being demanded of them as an employee. She stood up for the employee. She ended up losing her job. Now, this is a woman that she just had a tremendous persona. The bank was always busy. When she left, I know because I've been in that bank, the bank is like a morgue. It doesn't have the warmth. It doesn't have the feeling. Well, I got a card from her not too long ago, and it was, hi, I'm at a new bank. This is where I am. Now, this woman had been fired. You would think it would have been held against her, but that wasn't the case at all. And she didn't badmouth her previous organization. She said, nope, I really love the industry that I've been a part of for such a long time, and this industry has been good to me, and I just needed a change. But I would not back down from supporting the employee that I knew was right in doing what she had done. This is a woman that stood on her ethics. And so many times we'll think, well, that's the end of us in a particular environment. I might get blackballed, but that wasn't the case. She's now working for a company than a banking institution that wants the qualities that she represents. We need to remember this, that if we're true to ourselves, true to our integrity, we are going to find those places that we belong, those environments of people and conditions that will want to support us and represent the finest and best. But we have to stand up for ourselves and believe in who we are. This is Donna Sebo. I know we've run out of time. I'm so glad you're able to join me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Believe in yourself. I believe in you. And I really believe that you can make a difference. Don't worry about becoming famous or rich in, you know, or whatever it is that you may think has to be done. Live your life with that integrity and purpose that you have within yourself. You'll find you'll be right where you're supposed to be, in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.